Right now, your brain is functioning like a, well, basically a chaotic boardroom.
Oh, absolutely. Like a very noisy, totally unmanaged boardroom.
Right, where you have these three vastly different executives and they are all just fighting for the microphone. And usually the loudest, most impulsive one is winning. You know the scenario.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
You're standing at a snack bar, staring at a completely mundane menu, and you just freeze. You are trying to decide whether or not to order a side of fries.
Which should be a totally trivial choice, right?
Exactly. But somehow in that moment, it feels like this insurmountable hurdle. You can practically hear the argument happening in your head.
It is the ultimate symptom of decision fatigue. I
Yeah.
mean, we treat our cognitive energy like it is an infinite resource, but it is deeply, deeply finite.
Right.
When that boredom in your head is constantly arguing over every little thing, it chemically drains you.
Yeah, and the crazy part is that same exhausting paralysis happens whether we're ordering those fries or, I don't know, making a massive life-altering choice.
Like quitting a stable job.
Right. Or packing up and moving to Europe or deciding whether to commit to a long-term relationship. Every single day, you are confronted with this endless barrage of choices.
It's relentless.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this. Because today's deep dive is about how to fire your current mental management, basically.
Or at least restructure the board.
Exactly. Replacing them with a system that actually works, we are looking at a fascinating framework to stop that decision paralysis cold.
Yeah, it is an incredibly creative approach. It's designed to help you make better, more confident decisions by essentially introducing you to the people who are, already living inside your head.
Right, so we are diving into the work of Bradley Charbonneau today. He has been putting together a presentation for Monica Liel's Expand Summit.
Which is happening on July 24th, 2026, by the way.
Yes, July 24th. And the context of that summit is actually a really crucial piece of the puzzle here, right?
It really is. So Bradley's going to be sharing the virtual stage with 40 other speakers.
Wow, 40.
Yeah, exactly. If you are an attendee at a massive summit like that, the information overload is very real. I
Yep.
mean, by speaker number 7, your eyes are probably glazing over.
Oh, totally. You're just scrolling on your phone by that point.
Right. So if you want your core message to actually land and stick with the audience in a sea of 40 experts, you cannot just deliver a dry, theoretical lecture on decision making.
You have to create an actual experience.
Exactly.
And to do that, he has created this highly visual, almost theatrical method of processing choices. He is not just talking about the mind, the heart, and the gut as these abstract psychological concepts.
No, he literally personifies them.
Right. He turns the three main decision centers of the human body into a vivid cast of characters.
He takes these vague internal drives and gives them a pulse, a wardrobe, a specific car.
And a zip code.
Yeah, a zip code.
It's brilliant. But to understand how to actually use this framework to make better decisions yourself, we first have to meet the specific team that Bradley has created inside his own head.
Right, because these aren't just generic stick figures.
No, they are these richly detailed avatars. And they reflect his actual life experiences. I mean, he grew up in California, but then he spent over 14 years living across France, Germany, and the Netherlands.
That's a lot of cultural input.
It really is, and all of that history is basically baked into his boardroom.
And by looking closely at his specific team, it really illustrates the depth of what he is trying to teach the rest of us to do.
So let's introduce his cast. First up, representing the mind, is Martine.
Right.
And it is spelled Martijn, pronounced Martine. He represents Bradley's Dutch and German roots.
Right. So Martine is the ultimate strategist. He is your internal analytical accountant, the bookkeeper, the strict
Your
mathematician.
guy with spreadsheets.
Exactly. He represents the part of your brain that craves order, rules, safety, and just cold, hard logic.
If you picture Martine, he is wearing a very sharp, very practical tweed coat, and he drives a sensible, incredibly safe Volvo station wagon.
Of course he does.
Right. And if he is traveling across Europe, he is taking the high-speed bullet train because, well, it runs exactly on time.
Very efficient.
Yes, he basically lives his life behind a computer screen in Amsterdam. He is all about the facts, the spreadsheets, and the equations.
He is the embodiment of the rational, real-world constraints of any choice you have to make.
So that's the mind. Then, occupying the next seat at the table, we have the heart. Bradley named his heart Henri
Henri, get
because
that.
Henri represents Bradley's French ancestry on his father's side, so it is spelled Henri and pronounced Henri.
Right, because the French drop the H.
Exactly.
And Henri is the polar opposite of Martine. Where Martine is cold logic, Henri is suave warmth. I mean, he is deeply passionate, profoundly empathetic, and entirely driven by love, beauty, and relationships.
He's the ultimate romantic. Like,
Correct.
while Martine is crunching numbers in a safe Volvo, Henri is cruising around in a convertible Fiat.
Well, of course.
He spends his afternoons lingering at a Parisian cafe. Bradley actually notes that Henri has this unique ability to take the most mundane, everyday moment and instantly turn it into a magical, romantic scene.
Which leaves the final and, often the most disruptive member of the triad, the gut.
The gut. His name is Joe, pronounced Go.
Right.
And he represents Bradley's California upbringing.
Right.
Go is your classic, laid-back, action-taking surfer dude. We actually have a source image that Bradley generated to represent this avatar, and it paints such a vivid, hilarious picture.
Oh, it's great.
Go is the smiling, heavily tanned guy with wild, scraggly hair and a big, bushy beard. He's wearing dark sunglasses and a bright orange shirt with the text Go Gut printed right there on the fabric.
He looks like the absolute life of the party.
He really does.
And he is the primal instinct, a guy who just takes immediate action and figures out the logistical details way, way later.
It is literally like having a sitcom cast living inside your brain. You have got the uptight European accountant, the suave French romantic, and the wild California surfer all trying to drive the same car.
It's quite a visual.
It is. But before we get into how they make decisions, I want to pause on the psychology of this for a second, because why go to all this trouble?
What do you mean?
Well, isn't giving every single impulse a literal name and a backstory just, I don't know, overcomplicating a simple choice? If I am stuck in a decision, why not just flip a coin?
Yeah, it is a totally fair pushback. It sounds like an intricate creative writing exercise at first glance. But the psychological mechanism at play here is something called cognitive diffusion.
Cognitive
Right.
diffusions.
When you just flip a coin or when you rush a decision without untangling your feelings, you usually end up suppressing a major part of who you are. We tend to fuse our identity with our temporary emotions.
Oh, I see.
We say, I am anxious about this money, or I am being too impulsive.
Which just makes you feel guilty.
Precisely. But by giving your financial anxiety a name, a tweed coat, and a Volvo, you are practicing distancing.
Wow.
You are separating your core identity from those specific emotions. You stop saying, I am an anxious mess, and you start saying, Martinson's really worried about the budget right now.
That is so interesting. It immediately lowers your blood pressure, doesn't it?
Exactly. It lets you view your own internal conflict objectively, almost like you're a neutral mediator.
Oh, that makes a ton of sense. You can actually see the argument happening across the table rather than just feeling this vague, tight knot of anxiety in your chest.
Right, because it is much easier to navigate a disagreement between an accountant and a surfer than it is to navigate a full-blown panic attack.
Definitely.
What's fascinating here is a detail about how these parts interact, which is hidden right in the names Bradley chose. You mentioned the gut is pronounced go, but spelled Geau.
Yeah, I was actually wondering about that. That is a very complex French way to spell a simple two-letter word. Why overcomplicate the surfer dude? Less typing, more surfing, right?
Exactly. The internal dynamic this spelling reveals is brilliant. Quergo, the gut, would have been perfectly happy spelling his name G-O. It's simple, it gets the job done, it takes zero effort.
Right.
But Henri, the sophisticated romantic heart, refused to let a member of their internal team have such a basic pedestrian spelling.
No way.
Yes. Henri basically art directed the gut. He insisted on the French spelling, Geau.
And interestingly, Go agreed to it because deep down, he secretly aspires to be a little more cultured than just a beach bum.
That is hilarious. The heart is out here styling the gut. It proves they aren't isolated silos, They are constantly negotiating with each
They
other.
are an ecosystem.
Yeah, but it's one thing to have this quirky cast of characters hanging out in your head.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture what happens when a real-world dilemma hits.
Right.
Like, if Martine wants to save money, Henri wants a beautiful experience, and Go just wants to go surfing, who actually gets to grab the steering wheel? This brings us right back to the snack bar and the battleground of the French fries.
The ultimate test of the boardroom. Yes. Let's look at Bradley's actual example. He is trying to order. He consults his internal board of directors. First, he turns to Martin, the mind.
Okay, what does the mind say?
Martin looks at the nutritional spreadsheets and says, Absolutely not. They are fattening. They offer zero logical nutritional value. This is a bad investment. Hard pass.
So a completely rational, data-driven veto from the prefrontal cortex.
Exactly. Then he asks Henri the heart. Henri looks at the fries under the fluorescent snack bar lights and says, no, these are low quality. They lack culinary romance. This does not contribute to a beautiful, poetic dining experience.
Very French.
So true. So that is two clear votes for no.
The mind and the heart are in complete unanimous agreement. In a normal democracy, the decision is closed. You walk away from the counter.
But then Gu, the gut, steps up to the mic. Gu does not debate. He does not pull out a spreadsheet to analyze the nutritional value, and he doesn't care about the romantic ambiance.
No, of course not.
Gu is a primal hell yes. And before the other two can even formulate a rebuttal, Gu has ordered the fries.
He completely bypasses the committee.
He does. And here's where it gets really interesting. The math of this framework does not add up.
How do you mean?
Well, you had two clear no votes from the mind and the heart. You had one single yes vote from the gut. Two beats one. So how did the yes win the day?
Ah, because human decisions are not simple arithmetic. Bradley introduces this concept of weighted answers.
Okay, how does a weighted answer work in this context?
Think about the sheer intensity of the physiological drives behind these votes. A rational no from the mind is logical, so maybe it is worth 1 point.
Okay.
An emotional no from the heart is a preference, maybe also worth 1 point. But a primal, action-oriented, absolute hell yes from the gut isn't just a casual preference.
Right.
That kind of visceral certainty driven by older, deeper parts of the brain, like the basal ganglia, might be worth 2.5 or 3 points.
Oh, so that 2.5 from the gut easily overpowers the combined 2 points of the polite, civilized mind and heart.
Precisely. When one part of you is an absolute, undeniable hell yes, it can tip the scales entirely, regardless of what the logic dictates.
I completely relate to this. Last week, I bought this ridiculous high-end espresso machine that I absolutely did not need.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my inner accountant was screaming about the credit card bill, but my inner Italian barista totally hijacked the Amazon cart at 11 p.m.
It happens to the best of us.
And I felt guilty for 3 days. But it explains why we sometimes do things that make absolutely no logical sense on paper, and yet, in the moment, we just know we're going to do them anyway.
And that leads to one of the most profound realizations in the source material, which is, we usually already know the answer.
We do.
Yes. The moment the choice is presented, the core decision is often already made by the gut. The internal conflict, the agonizing, the pro and con list, all of that isn't usually about discovering the answer.
Wow.
It is just about trying to convince your other personas to give you permission to do the thing you already know you are going to do.
That is a massive paradigm shift. So Go already knew he was eating those fries.
Oh, absolutely.
The entire internal debate was just Go waiting for 5 seconds to see if Martine and Henri would give him a hall pass. When they refused, he just overrode them anyway.
The instinct was always going to win.
Hearing about Bradley's specific boardroom is highly entertaining, but the real value for you, listening to this right now, is figuring out how to build your own personalized decision-making team.
Right, because Martine Henri and Go belong to Bradley.
Well,
they have his memories and his zip codes. You cannot borrow them.
You need to map out your own internal landscape.
You have to figure out who is sitting at your specific table.
Exactly. And Bradley actually got the vision for how to teach this extraction process while he was on a flight back from Cardiff, Wales.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he had just seen a friend's daughter perform in a Shakespeare play, and he was struck by the raw power of theatrical performance to convey really complex psychological information.
I mean, it creates an emotional resonance that you simply cannot get from reading bullet points off a PowerPoint slide.
Right. So for his summit workshop, he envisions playing this whole concept out almost like a Netflix comedy special.
Oh, I love that.
He wants to actually use different accents, physically change his posture, and act out his avatars live on camera.
Yeah, it takes some courage.
It does. But behind all that fun theatricality, the core deliverable he demands from his students is incredibly practical. He wants every single person to walk away with a one-page CV or resume for their own mind, heart, and gut.
Like a tangible, documented profile of the people running their brain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you just hand someone a blank piece of paper and say, psychoanalyze your subconscious, they are going to freeze.
Completely.
So Bradley uses a guiding principle. Constraint creates creativity.
That's so true. Absolute freedom is usually paralyzing. Give someone a blank canvas, they panic. Give them three specific colors, they paint a masterpiece.
Right. So the constraint he imposes is simple. You must name your persona starting with the letters M, H, and G.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Your mind's name has to start with M, your heart with H, and your gut with G.
That immediately narrows the focus. Your brain stops looking at infinite possibilities and starts flipping through a mental Rolodex of M names, looking for one that feels like your logical side.
Exactly. Let me actually try this live. If I am bidding my team, my mind would definitely be an M. Let's say Minerva.
Minerva. Okay, I like it.
She's a very stern librarian, constantly shushing my other thoughts, surrounded by massive stacks of reference books.
That fits perfectly.
And my heart, Hugo, he is a highly dramatic, overly emotional opera singer who thinks every minor inconvenience is a sweeping tragedy.
Oh, wow.
And my gut grizzly, he is just a massive lumberjack who knocks down walls instead of using doors.
See how quickly that happens. You instantly know who is fighting in your head.
It really works. Once you have those names, the framework has you fill out the rest of the resume.
Like what?
Like, what is Minerva's one-line tagline? What are her primary and secondary colors? If your heart, Hugo, was a car, what make and model would he be?
The car analogy is particularly effective, I think, because we all intuitively understand what a vehicle communicates.
Right.
It instantly tells you if that part of your brain prioritizes speed, safety, luxury, or, you know, rugged utility.
Yeah. He also includes these 1 to 5 slider scales for specific traits on the resume. So you might rank your mind a 5 on analytical ability, but your gut might be a 1 on analytics and a 5 on action taking.
This raises an important question, though. How does the average person actually extract this deep psychological information from themselves if they get stuck?
Right.
Most of us do not casually know what kind of car our subconscious drives or what color our anxiety is.
That is the million-dollar question. Bradley knows that even with the MHG constraint, some people need a guide. So he proposes using an AI therapist.
Wait, so instead of just staring at a blank piece of paper, you're treating ChatGPT like a bartender you're spilling your guts to.
That is exactly the vibe. He created a custom GPT, an artificial intelligence persona, specifically designed to act as an interviewer.
Oh, that's clever.
You open a chat, and it starts asking you probing conversational questions like, where does your gut like to go on vacation? Or what does your mind sound like when it's stressed out?
So it gently guides you through the process of designing your characters without you having to do the heavy lifting of coming up with the prompts.
Right.
It completely takes the pressure off the user.
Hmm.
You aren't creating from scratch in a vacuum. You are just reacting to an interview.
And he is very aware that some audience members might be writers or creatives who have a love-hate relationship with AI.
Oh, definitely.
Or maybe they just don't want to sign up for paid accounts. So he offers a seamless alternative. For those who don't want to use AI, he built a simple, guided web questionnaire using Fluent Forms.
Okay, so it walks you through the exact same psychological extraction.
Exactly. You just fill out the form step by step.
And what happens when you finish the interview or the questionnaire? What is the final deliverable?
You get a beautifully designed PDF profile for each of your characters.
Very nice.
Yeah, it gives you something physical to look at.
Yeah.
Bradley even brainstormed this super-duper pie-in-the-sky version where the AI takes your answers and generates a short video of your gut actually speaking its tagline directly to you.
Wow.
Just imagine receiving a video of Gru standing on a beach saying, "It's Drew time," in his California accent.
That takes the visualization to a completely different level.
Yeah.
You're literally externalizing your inner voice so you can look it in the eye.
It is an incredible exercise in self-discovery.
Yeah.
But we need to ground all of this back into your daily life. It is fun to give your anxiety a name and a car, but why is this actually worth doing when the rubber meets the road?
Right. What is the long-term benefit of the boardroom?
Bradley outlines a very specific big-picture goal for this entire framework. It boils down to a progression of 3 words: clarity, courage, and confidence.
Okay.
You need the clarity to decide, the courage to start, and the confidence to commit.
Let's look at the alternative then. Think about what happens when you skip this process.
Yeah.
Going back to your espresso machine example, when you let your inner barista hijack the cart and you totally shut down your inner accountant, what happened over the next 3 days?
Oh, I felt awful. The excitement of the purchase was completely overshadowed by this nagging, low-level guilt every time I looked at the machine.
Because the voice you suppressed didn't just disappear.
Right.
When you ignore your rational mind because of being a buzzkill, or when you silence your gut instinct because the spreadsheet looks perfect, that ignored part of you builds resentment.
Wow.
It creates that exact low-level anxiety and self-doubt that haunts you after you make a choice.
It's like the part of you that got ignored is sitting in the corner of the boardroom, sulking, waiting to say, I told you so.
Exactly. But by putting your mind, heart, and gut all in a room together, by giving them names, listening to their resumes, and acknowledging their valid concerns, you achieve true self-compassion.
You are validating all of your own feelings, even the contradictory ones.
Yes. And when all three are genuinely consulted, even if one eventually gets outvoted, like Martine and Henri getting outvoted on those French fries, they at least feel heard.
That makes so much sense.
The result of feeling heard by yourself is true confidence. You make decisions you can proudly stand by because you know you weighed every part of your identity, which ultimately leads to living a life with far more purpose and meaning.
So what does this all mean? Next time you are paralyzed by a choice, you do not have to face it alone. To recap our deep dive for you today, personifying your mind, your heart, and your gut is not just some quirky, disposable creative writing exercise.
Not at all.
It is a highly practical, psychologically backed tool to end decision paralysis through cognitive diffusion. By building these avatars, you are giving yourself a custom-built team of advisors.
And the absolute beauty of this executive team is that they know you better than anyone else in the world possibly could, because they are you. They hold all your history, all your secret fears, and all your unspoken desires.
I highly encourage you to try this exercise today. Figure out your M, your H, and your G. Because the next time you find yourself struggling with a major life choice, or even just staring blankly at a snack bar menu, you can pause for a second. Take a breath and ask yourself, who is driving the car right now?
Is it your inner accountant tightly gripping the steering wheel? Is it your inner romantic trying to pull over for a scenic detour? Or is it your inner lumberjack just blindly slamming on the gas pedal?
Once you know who is actually driving, it is a whole lot easier to figure out where you are going. But I want to leave you with one final kind of mind-bending philosophical question to chew on, something that builds on everything Bradley has mapped out here.
Let's hear it.
If your mind, your heart, and your gut are all these distinct characters, if they all have their own resumes, their own cars, their own distinct accents, and their own votes at the table, then who is the you that is actually sitting in the chair at the head of the table, listening to the arguments and tallying the votes?
That is the ultimate mystery of human consciousness, isn't it?
It really is. Remember, you don't have to make the hard choices alone. Call a board meeting. Just hope your inner surfer doesn't order before the meeting starts.